Beautiful, Jerry. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Do you think spring's on its way or is it here? I think this coming week it'll let us know the summer's almost here coming up. Going to get a little bit warmer. But that's great, the way God has serviced us through the year, give us a mild winter, didn't have to burn up a whole lot of fuel. That was a blessing there for the price of it. And so we're just glad to have you here, and we're just a hope you enjoy the service this morning, and I think you will, because when God puts everything out on the table, He just wants you to eat. Okay, any announcements pertaining to church? Nancy.
I put an address on the bulletin board from Frances Washington. She has been moved from intensive care to a room in York, and I put the room number and the address for the hospital on the bulletin board.
Okay, thank you. Did she have surgery? Oh, okay.
They weren't going to tell me anything because I'm not bad.
Appreciate that notice. Thank you very much. Any others, please?
Kelly just wants me to announce that back on the back for the Bible school, you'll see what they're going to be doing for our service guides. We have two, Elijah and Caleb, sorry, just slipped my mind. So there's bags back there, you'll see, and a box as well. So she just wanted me to remind you about that. Coming up here in July, on July the 16th, just keep that open, a Sunday, we are going to have a Pastor Appreciation Sunday. All the pastors that have helped us out when Pastor Tracy passed retired. We're going to have them here that Sunday for the service, and then we will be doing a luncheon afterwards. So kind of keep that date back there in your mind. We'll keep it in the newsletter and everything as well. That's July the 16th. And I think that's everything.
Okay. Any other, Nancy?
Yeah, I forgot. If anybody in the church has any old Scrabble games, I want the tile letters for Bible school. So if anybody has any old
hear that? Take and see Nancy, if you would, please. Any others? Okay. Thank you for that. For our call to worship this morning, we're looking at Acts 2, 1 to 5. Please follow with me because, I don't know, my eyes ain't as good as they used to be, so bear with me. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let us bow our heads for a word of blessing. Father God, again, as we come just as we are, we come with our imperfections to your holiness, O Lord. Yes, we come with our fears and our doubts to your security. We come hungry, O Father, and we come thirsty for the things of the Spirit. Give us a word from the halls of heaven and the spiritual water. We come just as we are. Know that you will pardon us and cleanse us and relieve us from all anxieties. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for just taking us as we are and taking us then to where you want us to be. Well, we do ask it all in the majesty and the great name of Jesus this day. Amen. This time we'll have a hymn.
And number 4, 5, 8, please.
Let us just take a moment to bless the offering this morning. Father God, as we've opened our eyes to another new day, you have been with us through the week and through the months to be able to earn a living and provide for our families and to give to you, Heavenly Father. Well, we know that our ties to you goes forth in the spiritual aspect of bringing others in to know you and to love you. So, Father, just bless the many hands that have provided these funds for the inspirations and the building of your church and your brotherhood here below. Well, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to have some special music. Brother Brad's going to give us a song.
Good morning, young people of all ages.
Good morning.
I often wondered when I worked on this song, that the two things that seem to be missing around the kitchen table is a family time with food and the Word of God. How many people today actually sit down with no TV in the room and actually have a family meal and then share the Word of God? Who changed the rules? I like this old song. There's a family Bible on the table. Each page is torn and hard to read. But the family Bible on the table will ever be my key to memories. At the close of day, and work was over, and when the evening meal was done, Dad would read to us from the family Bible. And we count our many blessings one by one. I can see us sitting around the table. Where from the family Bible Dad would read. And I can hear my mama softly singing. Rock of ages, rock of ages, clap for me. This old world of ours is full of troubles. But this world has also better years. If we find more Bibles on the table, and mother singing, rock of ages, clap for me. I can see us sitting around the table, where from the family Bible Dad would read. And I can hear my mama softly singing. Rock of ages, rock of ages, clap for me. I can see us sitting around the table, where from the family Bible Dad would read. And I can hear my mama softly singing. Rock of ages, rock of ages, clap for me. Amen.
Thank you, Brother. I'm sure a lot of you can remember, maybe years ago, I can when I was a kid, we'd sit around the table. And you know what? Dad would say the grace, And Mom just put the most blessed food on the table that you'd want to eat. So we were never rich, but we never went hungry, and we never went dirty. So we thank God for all those times that we could experience. We have joys and concerns, if we could, please.
I'll start off. First of all, we have the joy to have Brother Ed become our pastor. And next Sunday will be the installation. And Brother Billy will be here to do that. So we are pleased to have Brother Ed and the family today with us. And hope that you all will continue to come along. And as far as prayer, keep Debbie and Ralph as they're traveling in prayer. Mike and Wanda O'Brien, health issues. And, of course, my continued list of unspoken requests.
Who was your other one there before?
Mike and Wanda.
Yeah, but after that.
Unspoken.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you, Terry. Others? Brother Ed.
I want to thank you for your prayers on my behalf. I came through the procedure with the pacemaker just fine. A few things I can't do yet or I won't be able to do for 6 weeks, but that's okay. My poor wife has had to deal with me on the right-hand seat. Instead of behind the wheel, so she needs probably some prayer support till I can drive again on Wednesday.
Amen.
But so we're glad to have our daughter Deanna with us, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you for your prayers.
Well, it's good to see you here and have your wonderful wife and your daughter here too with us today. And like Jerry said, and we're just looking forward to, well, all the good times that we've had and all the good times that are yet to come in the future. And we're just glad that everything has went well with your health provisions and you stay strong and you get a little prettier than your daughter. Okay. I got to tease you. You have to forgive me. Thank you. Any others, please? Nancy.
I think we need to keep Faye and Steve in prayer for traveling and everybody that's traveling today. They've already announced that it's going to be the busiest holiday season since COVID started, so a lot of cars out there will dodge. We need to keep the Amish family in prayer this week that they lost a little 5-year-old.
Adams?
Amish.
Oh, Amish family. Excuse me.
It's tough losing a little fight.
The Amish family was hit by a drunk driver.
Oh, really?
And the little boy was cut down. And apparently he didn't make it. I didn't hear that.
Well, I was told unofficially. I didn't have that in the paper yet, but I was told he didn't
make it. Danny. Thank you.
Bob, I want to thank everybody for the prayers and the cards we received through Alan's passing. And Ricky is in the hospital with, they took him last night, and I think he's got some kind of infection in his pancreas or something. He's going on the doctors and really medical. He's got to stay there a couple of days. And I want to keep the David Glass's family in the prayer passing of David. I need to keep Tammy Orndorff's family in the passing of her father-in-law passed away. And keep the Baker family in the prayers, please.
Yeah, Dave and I graduated together. So.
Whoop. Yeah.
Almost went after your border.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Darlene. Any others, please?
Well, still keep Maxine on your prayer list. She's recovering, and she looks a lot better than what she
did. Yeah, she's like incredible. But hopefully, in the next couple weeks, we'll call her.
No recalls, no falls, right?
Yeah, right.
Good deal. Frank, I see in your hand. Thank you.
Yeah,
for some reason, I already got it here. Thank you. Any more? Okay. Appreciate that. So let us just kindly come before the Lord in prayer, if we could please, in a position that you're comfortable with. Father God, as we open our mouths this day and our tongue gets to moving, just allow us to be thoughtful and considerate of others and the many trials and tribulations that each of us face. Father, while we think of our security and just being safe and sitting here in the quiet, soaking up the spirit that the good Lord has provided, we just praise you. But Father, as we do that, we know that on this Memorial Day, we remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Yes, our freedom. We remember the sacrifices you made for each of us. Please hold our servicemen and women in your arms today and cover them with your grace and your presence as they fill and stand in the gap for our protection. Father, they need all the love and protection they can get. We remember the families of the troops and ask your blessings to fill their homes, fill their hearts, and the many members of our armed forces to be filled with courage to face each day as they may trust in the Lord's mighty power to accomplish each and every task. Oh, Father, just let your word and your will and your praise and your strength be among one and all. As we have been blessed by your care for so many years and those that surround us. And Father, as you've heard verbally of the many names that have been lifted up to you this day, we just praise you for the kindness that has been shown and the healing that has been placed. And Father, as we get down through the list, going to elaborate, but we just want to make note of each and every one. And Father, my wife and I, and Father, we think of Ralph and Deb as they're traveling, and we think of my son Larry and his family as they're vacationing, and Father, we think of Wanda and others that are out on the cruise. Oh Father, you know what they're doing, whether they're on the railroad, whether they're on the boat, just be with one and all. Father Francis Boston, a dear sister. Just comfort her in these times and prevail with strength for her to continue. And Lord, we are grateful too for Brother Ed and his wife and his daughter and having them here and for the experience about to start next week. We just truly look forward and thank you for everything that's went into place. Oh, Father, just bless them as their times here at Rocky Ridge and their travels always. And Father, we know that the Baker family has many relatives and friends and loved ones that need your care desperately. They need healing. They need love. They need faith in some areas. And Father, we just know that you can handle it all. You write out the prescriptions for all of us, Father, and just allow it to be filled with your heart and your wisdom. Danny Peters and the family, Father, and we just want you to bless them. And we think of Woody and Phil. And we think of Mike and Wanda. And Lord, yes, there are many unspoken prayers that come to you each and every day. For Father, it is true that our bodies hear everything our mind thinks. And Father, sometimes that can lead us astray. Keep us on the track, Father, to salvation and security. Father, we also think of Faye and Steve on the road and traveling, wherever that might be. Naomi's family and the dear child that was injured. Father, how much more can they handle when some of these things aren't necessary? A drunk driver, or maybe talking on their phone. I don't know where some of their common sense is. Nobody needs to be talking that much. Father, we think of the country of Guam and the desperation that's taken place with the storms over there. Just be with them and help lift up the families that have been terrified by such things. Father, we think of the Ricky Baker in the hospital. And we think of Dave Glass that has passed to his reward. We think of Frank and Pat, Wilton, and Tammy and the family. And Father, yes, Ukraine. And as much destruction that, I don't know, it seems like the devil is really active this day and is doing many things to distort. And Father, just bless this old USA. It don't always do the right things, but it is there to help many in many ways. So Father, we are favored in your care. And we just know that the touch that you provide as you lower your hand to our shoulder, or maybe tickle our ear, whatever it might be, we hear your voice, Father. Just allow us to use that will in your presence. Oh, Father, we have so much to be gratified for. And thank you for each and every one here today and those that haven't been here for a while. We just bless you for their presence. Thank you, Father God, again, for the beautiful music that just makes and serves this church to a positive nature. Oh, Father, we just look to you that you would give us the strength to endure and go forth another week and come back all just filled with joy that we can share in the initiation of Brother Ed. Father, we just lift it all up to you this day as we pause in your presence and honor you in your name. Lord, we just give it to you in the glory in the name of Jesus Christ as he taught us to pray in holy unison the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. This time we'll have another hymn, like 358, please.
Thank you.
For our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Kings 19, 10 through 14. Again, follow along with me, please. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets and sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Have you ever been in a position where you might be the last one standing? Well, I hope it isn't with your spirituality or your home with the mansions of heaven. I hope you have company, and I hope that company is the Holy Spirit. So may God bless the message for the day, and may God bless Brother Ed as we turn it over to him to bring us a wonderful message, I'm sure. Brother Ed.
Thank you, Brother Bob.
You're most welcome. And I didn't drink your water.
No, you didn't. Okay. How many of us listen to the news in the morning when you get up and having breakfast? Anybody here? In some way or another, it's on the TV or whatever. You may look online. How often is it good news?
Not very.
How often is it encouraging news?
Hardly ever.
How often does it make you grumpy? Or you wonder, what in the world is this world, is my country coming to? What in the world is this place where we live? What happened? What happened? And we say that to ourselves. And sometimes, as Christians, even more and more, we might feel like we're just little fish swimming in a big sea of those who don't want to have anything to do with God, that have no interest in God. And we wonder, how is this going to end? What could happen? It just doesn't look good. Or maybe not even taking the example of the news. Let's think about, did you ever feel alone in the midst of a crowd? Maybe at work, you're the only believer that you know about. Or at school, you might be the only Christian you know about. And you say to yourself, where'd everybody go? Where'd all the people who believe like me, what happened to them? Instead, we're surrounded with people who care nothing for God. They don't know anything about his word, or sometimes the only mention you hear of Jesus is in the form of a curse. Hebrews 11, verses 36 through 38, describe the lives of some faithful Christians who must have felt alone. It says there, some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went around in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. As you see from this, friends, when you feel alone and isolated, you are in excellent company. Because the scripture says, others before you have felt the same thing. And they've walked the same path that you may be walking at this moment. When we looked at the first part of chapter 19 a few weeks ago, we saw that Elijah had retreated to the Sinai desert. He was running as fast as his legs could carry him away from Queen Jezebel. And then he traveled 40 days into the desert at God's summons to Mount Horeb. And Mount Horeb, if you don't remember, is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And the Israelites camped around Mount Horeb while Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Today we get to listen in on what might have been thought of as a private conversation. How many people here ever were in their home, they ever had a party line? Party line telephone? How many of you, don't raise your hands, but how many of you know people who might have picked up the receiver just to listen to hear what was being talked about on the party line? People were thinking, well, my phone call is private, but, you know, if the neighbors, you know, if you just pick that receiver up real quietly and you could listen to hear what's going on. Some of you are looking at me like, party line? What on earth are you talking about? Don't worry. You know, it's okay. That's an old time thing. So we think, when we read this text, it was a private conversation between God and Elijah, but it really isn't, because Elijah saved it for us in the scriptures. So here he is, he's staying in a cave on the slopes of Mount Horeb, and we're going to listen to his conversation as he's there. An angel has fed him. He's gotten there 40 days, 40 nights, through the desert. He's rested one night, and he gets woken up by a different kind of alarm clock. How many of us have an alarm clock? Oh, that's right, those of you who are retired, who worries about the alarm clock? I bet you throw that out the first week that you're retired. But he hears a voice. What are you doing here, Elijah? That was the alarm clock. Who knew that they had cell service on Mount Horeb? So he gets, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, does God know what Elijah is doing there? Does God know Elijah's circumstances? Does God know what Elijah has had to endure? Yes. But I think God is doing a few things with this question to Elijah. First of all, he's reassuring the prophet that he is not alone. He is not alone. Many times over the years that I've been in ministry, when I've been visiting with a woman who's lost her husband or with a husband who's lost his wife, one of the hardest things for them to adjust to is not just the physical absence of their spouse, but even the simple thing like their voice or the context of their presence being nearby. Our friend Elaine, who lives in Michigan, has not changed her phone message that her husband created years ago on their voicemail. Why? If she wants to, she can pick it up and hear his voice and remember him. So Elijah needs to be reassured, and God says, you know, Elijah, I know you're here. I'm still speaking to you now just as much as I ever did when before all of this happened. I'm still speaking the word of the Lord to you. You hear it, and we're interacting. Second, Elijah is being given the opportunity to think about what has happened to him in the last little while. How many times in your life have you ever been so busy with events or happenings or just the stuff of life that you say to yourself, man, I don't have a chance to think about anything. I can barely think. It's just one thing after another. Wake up in the morning, have breakfast, do this, do that, do the other thing, and then we get to lunch, and then it's do this, do that, the other thing, and then something else in the afternoon. And you come to the evening, and it's like, whew. It's a good thing I had my license with me. I was so busy, I didn't even know my own name. So he's been in a situation where so much has been happening to him. He's hardly had a moment to think. He's won a terrific spiritual victory over the 850 prophets of Baal. Flip that around. He experienced a justifiable fear for his life from Queen Jezebel. And then he ran like crazy as far south and southeast as he could go. There's been a lot going on in Elijah's life. And the Lord, I think, is inviting him to stop and think for just a little bit. He might have been, up to this point, too worn out to think. Think about the last time you were exhausted. And how it just, everything is just too much. It might be too much. You might just sit in your chair in the living room or wherever your favorite chair is. And you say, I am so tired out. I am so worn out. I can't even go to the kitchen to get myself a drink of water. Sunday morning comes and you're tired and we're exhausted. It's like, man, I hardly have the strength to get to church. I know that I want to go to church. I need to go to church. But boy, it's really hard. It's just hard to, just get up. But the Lord says to you, come on. Come on. Come on, there's the blessing. You can do it. You can get up. He spent all this time running. Now God says, I have you, Elijah, in this place so that you can recuperate, so that you can think, so you can understand what it is I'm doing in your life. Maybe God has asked you to go through that kind of a season. Maybe you've had an illness. And you couldn't go to work. And you couldn't do anything. I had my pacemaker here. I have a timeline. Okay? 7 days you can drive. 6 weeks you can't pick up anything in your left hand more than 10 pounds. 6 weeks you can't raise your left arm higher. I can't do this with the left arm. Not supposed to do that. Do you know how oftentimes you reach for something unconsciously? With an arm. You just reach for it and you have to catch yourself. But whoops, wait a minute. So you have to think about what's going on. And Elijah's being given the opportunity to stop and listen to what God has to say. He's been praying all along, I'm sure. But now God is going to say something back to him. So what are you doing here, Elijah? And if you remember the sermon from a couple of weeks ago, I said that it's okay to complain. Elijah does that. He says, I want you to know, Lord God Almighty, that I have been very zealous for you. I've been very busy. I've done all this stuff. I've done this, I've done that, and I've done the other thing. And the unspoken part of that thought was, and look what I got for it. Did you ever say that to God? I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other thing, and look what you allowed to come into my life. But on the other hand, Elijah is probably feeling something else. Because he says, first of all, the Israelites have rejected your covenant with them. Now, this isn't any surprise to God. God had told Moses centuries before, and repeated it numerous times since through the various prophets, that the people were going to reject the covenant with God. And they were going to not just reject the covenant, they were actually going to reject God himself. They were just going to disavow knowing him. They were going to disavow doing anything for him or with him. They were just going to find it inconvenient to acknowledge God. And how many people in America find it inconvenient to acknowledge God these days? God, I think, sometimes more than we realize, feels the sting of rejection. When he has done so much for us, his son died on a cross and was raised from the dead for our salvation. He's given everything necessary for us to live eternally, and we just say, no thanks. I don't need you, God. I don't need anything you can do for me. I can do it all myself. That never ends well. I think Elijah thought maybe he had failed. How many of us have ever failed? Have you ever failed? Surely you must have. Everybody in this room can walk, can't you? Can you walk? How did you learn to walk as a child? What did you have to do to learn to walk? What do your children or your grandchildren have to do to learn to walk? You said it, sister. Say it louder. Fall down. You got to fall down before you can learn how to stand up on the 2 feet. Otherwise, all of us would be coming in here on our hands and knees crawling. And wouldn't we look dumb? You got to fail to progress, to succeed. Some of us fail in work. Some of us fail in school. Sometimes it doesn't come easy. We were talking this morning as we were driving down here about school art projects. And while I can, now, all these years later, creating sermons is fairly simple and fairly easy. But when I was in middle school and we had genuine art classes, remember those art classes? We had things, and we had shop. Well, they should have just sent me to the library because I wasn't very good in shop and I wasn't very good at art projects, And as I said to the family, I said to Debbie and Deanne, I said, my approach to art class was just like what they say nowadays in college for college graduates. C's get degrees. Not everybody gets A's and B's, but C's do get degrees. And that was my goal, to get C's in art class just so I could progress, because I wasn't an artist. Elijah has felt like he's done his best and it's a failure. And God wants him to know, hey, there is no failure here. You have done exactly what I have asked you to do. Sometimes, like Elijah, we feel like failures. Our children, our family members turn away from the faith that we've tried so hard to inculcate in them. We try to show our faith to our friends and they don't seem to respond to that at all. We might say to God, God, I've tried, but I've failed. God says, no. No, you have not. Then he goes on to complain, they have broken down your altars. Now remember that Elijah is ministering after King Rehoboam has taken 10 tribes to the northern kingdom of Israel. And for Rehoboam to keep the people at home, he didn't want them to go to Jerusalem, so he created golden calves at the northern and at the southern end of his kingdom. And so people who wanted to worship God, because they didn't go to Jerusalem anymore to the temple, they had to build altars of their own to worship God. And after a while, they got tired of that, and they destroyed them. And the pagan gods and goddesses came in, and they set up altars to them. In addition to that, they killed prophets with the sword. You do know that prophets did not, in ancient Israel, have a very good retirement plan. Because they generally didn't live long enough to retire. They were killed or imprisoned or otherwise driven out of their ministries. And then what Elijah says, God, they're trying to kill me too. I've done everything I can. I've served you as faithfully as I can. I've done everything I can for them. And all they want to do is kill me. All they want to do is kill me. And what's worse, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one still standing. How does Elijah feel? Abandoned, struggling, isolated, persecuted, paranoid. If anybody ever was paranoid, it should have probably been Elijah. Because everybody really was out to get him. But he knows he can complain to God about this, because the prophet knows that God is listening and will do something about it. So having complained, the Lord takes a turn. Stand on the mountain and watch. For the Lord Almighty is about to pass by. Now, who else saw God on Mount Horeb? I mentioned his name once already. Moses. If you remember, deep in the passages of Deuteronomy, Moses says to the Lord, "You know, Lord, it's been wonderful to be up here, but you know, I see your glory, but Lord, let me see your face." And the Lord says, "Sorry, Moses, because no one can see my face and live. But you stand in the cleft of that rock over there, and I'll place my hand over you, and I'll pass by. And after I have passed by in my majesty, you'll be able to see my back. That's what you'll be able to see." All the prophets of the Old Testament, the faithful ones in both the Old and the New Testament, even we ourselves, sometimes we say to ourselves, "Lord, if I could just see your face." That's, of course, is why God sent Jesus, so that our God had a face we could understand by seeing Jesus, who was fully human and fully divine. But he says, "Elijah, I'm going to walk by. I'm going to give you a personal manifestation of my power. You, Elijah, are on sacred ground." Moses stood on this holy ground once before and held conversation with me. Now I'm going to hold a conversation with you on holy ground. So there are three quick physical manifestations that happen. Now remember, Elijah is back deep in a cave. He's not out in an exposed area. First comes a wind that tears the rocks of the mountains apart and shatters them in pieces. Anyone here ever see a tornado in person? Debbie and I have. A few years ago, let's see, it was 2006 already? My goodness, it's 17 years ago, Debbie. The first church that I ever served as pastor was out in rural Kansas. And we were all gathered. There were 200 plus people in this building. It was crammed to the gills. And when you live out there, you keep a weather alarm alert on your phone or on your pager then or whatever you have. And tornado warning fires off. And so we did what every other person does when the tornado warning goes off in any other state I've ever lived. Did we go to the basement? No. We went outside to see which way it was coming from, which is not the smartest thing to do, really, you know. But a number of us went outside, and we were watching this cloud in the southwest, because in that part of the world, tornadoes always go southwest to northeast. So we go outside, and after a while, we see this thing come down from the cloud. And it starts moving. And it's not really very big. I mean, as tornadoes go, wasn't much. But when it starts to move towards a church with 200 people in it, it begins to get your attention. And so some ran for shelter, some got in their cars and moved their cars. And all the while, this tornado, yeah, I know, sister, right? He's like, what were you people thinking? So after a while, I moved the car because I had my son's car, and I couldn't let anything happen to his car because he had to go to work. So at the end of the day, it comes towards the church, and then it hangs a left, this little tornado. And I come back to the church after having driven about a half mile away, and my best friend comes running out. It's headed towards my house. Let's go. So get in the car. We're driving to the road that connects to his house, and the tornado was about the width of one of your benches. Had knocked all the wheat flat. Hadn't been strong enough to tear it up or anything. It just knocked it flat. Didn't do anything to my friend's house either. It went away after that. But I'll tell you, when you see a tornado, even if it only knocks down the wheat, the width of a church bench, it's still mighty impressive. Because they do roar. And they do make a noise. And that was a little one. Elijah is seeing a big one. Because it's tearing the rocks apart. And ripping up the mountain. But you know, God is not in the wind. We're impressed by the wind, but God is not in the wind. Then there's a fire. Or excuse me, then there's an earthquake. Our family lives in Northern California, our son and daughter-in-law. They have earthquakes all the time. They had one this week. My daughter-in-law, who was raised around Los Angeles, says she doesn't even start thinking about it until they reach 5.0 on the Richter scale. Because for her, it's an everyday thing. If you and I had an earthquake, we'd be paying real attention, wouldn't we? Your house started to shake, rattle, and roll, you'd be saying hello. But the Lord is not in the earthquake. And then there's a fire. What's the biggest fire you've ever seen? Can you visualize the biggest fire you've ever seen? When we were driving through the western U.S. last year, we went through a stretch of mountains where the fire had gone through a forest, a national forest. And for a couple of miles, nothing but scarred, blackened tree trunks. And I have to wonder, what kind of force that thing has to do to destroy these many trees? How fierce the blaze must have been. But again, the Lord is not in the fire. Three signs have come. And we always say, Lord, send me a sign. Elijah doesn't come out. And then the NIV calls it a gentle whisper, or as the King James says it, a still, small voice. How many of you ever had rambunctious children or grandchildren? You know, at our house, at various times over the years when we were also having foster children in our house besides our own kids, sometimes it felt like the wheels were just about ready to come off. You know? And we had two approaches. I would yell. How effective do you think that was? Not always as effective as you'd like. But my wife would walk into the room where the children are carrying on, and she'd say, now I want you to listen to me. I want you to pay attention. And it usually worked. Why? Because to hear what she had to say, they had to stop and listen. When Dad yells, oh, who cares? He does that all the time. But when Mom speaks, you know, when Mom speaks, better listen. The best way to get someone's attention sometimes is to whisper. Those of you who haven't been married or are married now, sometimes you whisper sweet nothings in your wife's ear. Because if you shout it, she's going to say, "What on earth did you just say?" But you whisper sweet nothings, she gets a little closer, see? There's method to our madness, gentlemen. Now God's voice comes as a whisper. Elijah knows it when he hears it. Have you ever noticed that the Holy Spirit almost never shouts at you? But when he wants to speak to you, he speaks to your heart in a quiet way. Speaks through the word, speaks through someone else, but it's always quiet. And then the Lord says to him, "Why are you here, Elijah? What is it you want?" And Elijah says, "Well, you know, it's the same thing, Lord. It's the same thing. The people that you entrusted me to shepherd have turned away from you. They broke down the altars where they once worshipped you. They have rebelled against you and rejected you. They've slain your messengers for telling the truth that you gave them. And I am seeking to flee from those who want to kill me." In essence, Elijah is saying, "I'm a failure. It's all gone wrong. And I don't know what to do. And I'm the only one left." Is that the end of the story? No. But you have to come back next Sunday to hear it. It's not the end of the story. You and I can take heart from knowing that we never stand alone. Isaiah said that one would be coming, and his name would be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Not just in Isaiah's day, but this very day. And not just at Christmas, but all the time. We never stand alone, for God is with us as Savior and friend. We are not powerless because the Holy Spirit, which just happened to be given today on Pentecost, is always resident within us. So we are not powerless. And the Father is working in ways and planning in ways that we do not see or understand at the moment. And you say, "Well, how does that happen? What did you vote on last week?" You voted to call me to be your pastor, right? The first time I preached here in March, came in this back door, preached a message, talked to many of you afterwards. I got lovely people. They don't have a chance of finding anybody after 8 years of looking. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say what ran through my mind. But I look forward to coming back and preaching every now and then when Sister Deb calls. Sister Deb calls that week and says, "You know, we'd really like you to come here." "Yes, Sister Deb, I know, you know, but I just retired. I just retired from preaching all the time, and I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore." And after a while, I start having this conversation with God. And God says, "Oh, really? Oh, really? You don't want to do this anymore? You only retired to get Social Security. You don't get to retire from my work until I call you home." So I said, but Lord. Did you ever say, "Yeah, but Lord"? "Yeah, but Lord." So the Father was working and planning in a way that none of us foresaw. And we got that way, actually pretty much in record time, from March through May. But God is always working and planning. We're not isolated. He knows exactly our circumstances. And Elijah is about to find that out in a very real way. Let's pray. Lord, we are just freshly reminded again of your love, your compassion, and how much you care for us and are looking out for us. Sometimes the circumstances of life make us wonder if we have failed, if we are not where you want us to be. Elijah felt the same thing. And yet, Lord, we've seen this morning from your word that Elijah is exactly where you want him to be. And he's ready now to be used for the fulfillment of your plan for his life. Help us to know that right now we are where you want us to be for the fulfillment of your plan in our lives. So work in us, speak to us, and use us in such a way that your plans will be accomplished to your honor and glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our song is number 455.
You stand.
Lord, we thank you for our time of worship this morning, for your blessed presence with us, for your love poured out upon us in ways that we are only beginning to understand, and for your call which rests upon each one of us. Grant us the courage and the bravery to answer and to do as you lead. As you did with Elijah, Lord, so do with us, we pray. Send us forth to our homes now. We ask this in Jesus' name. And now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit be with you now and every day. Amen.
Praise God.